This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome everyone to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 37, where we left off last time. Mark chapter 14, verse 37. As we go through these chapters that tell of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we're also learning lessons from God. So we take off the top level layer and we peel it open and we see so many things about our wonderful God. One of the things that has come home to me, let me share it with you, is what we are learning is that God pre-arranges things. Romans 8:29 says, whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image and likeness of his Son. In other words, the elect are prearranged, predestinated. Most everybody has free will. But what we learn here, that God prearranges things to get his work done. His plan is done. So if God prearranges things to get his plan done, and he does, that also means he's still in charge, though it doesn't look so. Everybody understand it. He prearranges, so God is still sovereign, and that goes for today as well. We saw that he had prearranged for a donkey to be hitched up to a post for Jesus to ride, because it had been prearranged in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, that Jesus would come lowly, riding on an ass, and so he did. We found last week that God had prearranged for a man to walk around the place with a water pitcher on his head. The women were the ones that did that, but he was sticking out like a sore thumb. But God prearranged it because the disciples followed him. And then we had a man prearranged and put there, the goodman of the house, who had already prepared the upper room for the Last Supper and the Passover meal. So God prearranges things to get his work done. Now, if you're really doing your best to live for God, and if you're called and chosen and elected, if you look at your life, every now and then God just picks you up, points your steps this way. Some of you have been, your steps have been ordered to me, and my steps have been ordered to you, so that we can work together on this great truth and give it to the world. In other words, he will pick you up. I've seen him pick me up physically and move me to another location. He intervenes into an elect's life to get his purpose done. Now, last week, Jesus and his disciples had what is called the Last Supper, the Passover meal. Little did they know that Jesus would become that Passover lamb. So Judas went out and betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And then Jesus took his disciples and went to Gethsemane, and he said, "Now I'm going to pray, and I want you to wait on me, stay awake and wait for me to pray." So that's what he did. He went and he prayed great sweat drops of blood, and Jesus prayed, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." We'll talk about that a little bit later on. "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou?" Okay, this is interesting. Now there was Jesus sweating cold drops of blood, saying, "Nevertheless, not my will be done. Let this cup pass from me." Jesus was not trying to get out of dying. He came to die. That was his mission. But he was talking about the cup of trembling prophesied in Isaiah 59, that when Jesus comes a second time, he's going to pour out that cup of trembling, cup of fury, cup of wrath on all those in the world who are worshiping the Antichrist, and he doesn't want to have to do that. And so that was why he was praying to God that he could pass, just not do that. But Jesus and God the Father agreed that there has to be a punishment for evil. Sooner or later, evil has to be exposed and has to be punished. So you notice he calls Peter Simon. Jesus had given Peter a new name. When you get sanctified, I didn't say saved, but when you get sanctified and you surrender it all, God will change your name. Did you know that? He gives you a new name. And he called him Peter, which means Petra, which means rock. But Simon's name means a hearing. So that means in the flesh, his name is Simon. But in the spirit, he is a rock. In other words, God was going to let him help build the church of Jesus Christ. This must have hurt Simon's feelings very much. Jesus didn't call him Peter this time because Simon had failed. He had gone to sleep. Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? 38, watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. This is called Jacob's trouble, the hour of temptation, when the soon coming Antichrist appears. It doesn't mean a literal hour. It means the time that the Antichrist is reigning as God, as the Messiah over all the earth. And if we stay awake and keep with the Word of God, we won't be deceived and won't be tempted, and we won't be deceived and won't sin. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God says, I'll let you be deceived if you want to be. I'll send a spirit of delusion. I will send the spirit of slumber, of stupor. Paul talks about it. In other words, you just can't get it. You just keep going to sleep. One of the problems in the body of Christ today is you're asleep. You've been lulled by milk so long, you just keep drinking that milk and little baby food, and you just keep having your milk and you go to sleep. And you don't ever eat any good red meat to get up there and do some good and get you alert and get your muscles working and get your life going, then your blood circulating. So, well, wake the body of Christ. But God is going to, he actually allows that spirit of slumber to come on some Christians. Frankly, it will ultimately be for their good. Another teaching for another time.
The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.
Jesus understood. He knew Peter's heart.
39, again he went away and prayed and spake the same words.
Again he said, let this cup pass from me. And once again, it's the cup of trembling prophesied in Isaiah 59. He was not trying to get out of death. He just wished he didn't have to bring that cup and pour it out when he comes a second time. But you see, God would not be fair if he doesn't finally put an end to evil. I'll tell you something. It looks like in the world today that the evil get away with it. Psalm 37 says, nope, they're going to be like lamb on the spittle.
40, and when he returned, he found them asleep again.
Oh, no.
For their eyes were heavy.
Now, this is interesting. And remember that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, these things happen to them for an example. If you're not careful, you will get so complacent in studying God's word and being comfortable in that and going to church and reading your Bible that you will not be alert to what's happening. If you really know what's happening now, you will see that the hourglass is spinning, and that's why everything is so wild and crazy. But all these things going on in the government, this is all in the Bible. But if you're not careful, you'll go to sleep on that. So he wants us to be alert and be awake. I am sure those disciples couldn't even imagine why they couldn't stay awake. I've thought about this. They were very grieved. Jesus kept talking about he was going to die. He was going to be murdered. He was going to go away from them. And he told them they would all betray him. So they were filled with grief. They loved him. They didn't understand. Sometimes when a person is deeply grieved, they'll just go try to sleep it off. Haven't you heard people say, boy, this trouble's so bad, I'm going to put my head under the covers and never come up.
Neither wist they what to answer him. 41, and he cometh again to them the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough.
Now that's an interesting statement. So he says, okay, you want to be deceived, sleep on. It is enough in the original Greek, and this was translated from Greek.
means the receipt of payment has been made. I repeat, the receipt of payment has been made. Jesus knew right then with his spiritual gift that at that moment Judas had accepted the 30 pieces of silver prophesied in the Bible, with which he betrayed Jesus, and so he'd been paid that, which meant that Judas now was game on. He was going to find Jesus and turn him in. Receipt has been paid.
Hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners.
Now, if you notice Jesus, you know, he can raise people from the dead. One time he made himself invisible to keep him from pushing him over the cliff. He could have just taken everybody's breath away when they tried to get him. He could have done that. But instead, he orchestrates that. You notice he says they're coming. You know what he's doing? He is directing this whole play. He is in charge. Jesus is the victor. He gives the victory. He has the victory. There is nothing in this whole setup of him being arrested and nailed to a cross that causes him to be the victim. He came to die. That was the business. When your boss sends you out and you accomplish what he sent you out to do, you're successful. He came to die for our sins. So he's saying it there. He's unveiling it, just like in Psalm 22. Jesus is teaching from the cross, and he just quotes verse after verse after verse, and it happens. So see Jesus, who has been prearranging all of this. This was prearranged. He's in charge. It is one more noble heart of self-control that can make others think that you are the victim when all the while you're running the show.
Amen. 42, rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayed that hand.
So he realizes Judas is coming. When Jesus sees Judas, you know what he says to him? Friend, wherefore comest thou? He called him friend. Remember in Psalm 141, he says, my friend, whom I trusted, with whom I ate bread, he raised up his heel against me.
43, and immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude.
Now, this multitude coming with Judas to arrest Jesus, this was not a trained army. Jesus himself and his 11 then disciples with him, Judas was gone, they were such trained swordsmen, they had to kill wild beasts and lions and all kind of things and take care of themselves, people trying to kill them. They could have taken that motley crew. But here comes a crew, and they're going to come with sticks and staves, but let me tell you who they were. Jesus could have just told his disciples, go take him, and they could have taken him. But remember, Jesus came to die, so he's orchestrating this thing. He means for them to arrest him. That's in the plan. What they are, they're just like today. They are paid protesters. Most of them are druggies and hooked on something, and they don't work, but they're getting paid to make a noise and say all kind of ugly, horrible bathroom things and scream and yell and hit if possible, just like today. Ecclesiastes, a preacher, said there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. Anytime that you see a wild crowd yelling and screaming obscenities and acting crazy and wild like they're wild animals, they are paid protesters. That's Satan doing that. That's how he handles it. He does it with loudness and humiliation, like arresting someone at 6 o'clock in the morning before you got your clothes on, before you had your coffee, before you brush your teeth, and putting out on your lawn 29 FBI agents with swords on them and guns on them and tactical helmets on them and rapping on your door, FBI, FBI. That's the devil's ploy. Amen. To make a big scare out of you. So that's what that was. So see, Jesus could have snuffed the ear out right then. Nope, he's in charge.
With swords and staves, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and he that betrayed him had given them a token.
Now, the high muckety muck of the phony church leaders are all there. They want to watch this. They hate Jesus so much, like the people hate Donald Trump, not us, but the bad guys, that they just wanted to see him suffer. That was happiness to them to see him suffer. And so then Judas says, I'm going to give you a sign,
saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he.
Okay. They didn't have electrical street lights then. It was dark. And so they had a few torches and things like that. Judas wanted to make sure these paid protesters never heard of Jesus, and they didn't have his picture all over the television set 24 hours a day. So he said, I'm going to kiss him. After all, I'm one of his students. This is called the kiss of Judas. Now, I'm going to put something in parentheses. It's cute. When I was 17 years old, I graduated from high school, and I had written letters because I had felt a calling from God, and all I knew that I could be was a missionary, but I knew I was giving my life to God. So I'd written all kind of colleges and told them that my parents would not send me to college. They couldn't or wouldn't, and that I wanted to work my way through college, and I finally got accepted by one, so I was ready to go in the fall. So I applied for this job, and the man was real nice. He gave me a test. He said to me, smiling, he said, you got the job. So I, 17 years old, so happy that God had given me the job, I said, oh, thank you so much. I said, now I'll have the money to buy the things I need to go to college in the fall. He said, uh-oh, that's the kiss of death. He wanted to hire me, but he didn't want a temporary worker. So I thought you'd like the kiss of Judas. America used to use that expression a lot, the kiss of Judas. Have you ever had that happen to you? I've had it many times being in the ministry. It hurts. Ouch.
Take him and lead him away safely.
Look at Judas. He said, lead him away safely. I told you last week Judas loved Jesus. Judas did not understand, neither did any of the disciples, that Jesus came to die. That's the part they can't get. They thought he came to set up the kingdom here. He's going to do it, but he had to die first and come again to do it. And so he thought that. So he thought if he gave him a little rough and tumble there, that Jesus would just say, just enough here. You're not going to kill me. You're not going to hurt me. And I'm going to set up the kingdom. And Judas carried the bag. He wanted to be the secretary of the money, the treasury. So he says, keep him safe. So see, it never occurred to him that Jesus would let them crucify him. He had seen Jesus become invisible to keep the people from throwing him over the cliff. I mean, how could the tree of life let himself die?
45, and as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him.
Okay, teacher, teacher, kiss of Judas, betrayal kiss, yuck.
46, and they laid their hands on him and they took him.
And Jesus let them. And he could have taken one finger and wiggled it, and they could have all died. He was in total charge. This was prearranged. It was written 1,000 years in Psalm 22 this would happen. He let them do it. He's successful. He's achieving his goal. Now, when you find out what God wants you to do, which is to die to yourself, not necessarily physically, and give your all to God and forget yourself and do the great work of God and sacrifice, 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 and suffer, suffer, suffer for him. When you do that, don't grumble. No, if that's what you're sent for, you are successful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't get too many hallelujahs on that. You love the blessings. You don't love the suffering. You can't be a real Christian without suffering. You got to go through the stripes. You got to feel the blood. You got to feel the pain. Because we're being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear.
Now, the other Gospels, John 18 and Luke 21, tell us that the disciple that did that was Peter. I told you that the disciples were good swordsmen. You know, with all that commotion and yelling, I mean, even if you were a good swordsman, 9 chances of 10, you'd go through the brain or the nose or something, would you? I would. He slices the ear off. In Luke 21, it tells us that Jesus picked up the ear, put it back on, and healed the priest, high priest. His name was servant Malchus. Malchus means kingdom. The kingdom of darkness had come to the kingdom of light. Can you imagine that night when Malchus went home to his wife and he said, "Good Lord, one of those people sliced my ear off. This man that we arrested picked it up and put the ear back on." I bet he had a hard time thinking about Jesus that night, don't you?
Yes.
48, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching."
Temple teaching, that's been the name of my ministry for many years until I changed it to Trumpet of Truth.
"And you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled."
It was written that this would happen, Jesus said. See, he is the author. He wrote all the prophecies. He's the director. He's directing this, and he's the star. This is what you call a one-man show. Jesus is totally in charge. Now, as human beings, when you hear this, you want to cringe and cry for the pain. And we do. We remember that. But see, you're only seeing it from your side. This is Almighty God doing the greatest thing that's ever been done or ever will be done. The Creator himself coming down, the potter, and dying for the clay, the broken pots that we are. Dying for us is the greatest thing of all. So there's a lot more going on in Jesus than worrying about a pain in his body, I can assure you.
50, and they all forsook him and fled.
That prophesies Zechariah chapter 18, "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." They all scampered.
51, and there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body.
Now this would be Mark. Mark was not a disciple, but he was a young man who had fallen in love with Jesus and accepted Jesus. Mark's own home, his mother used to have Jesus in for Bible studies. So what happened there? Mark obviously had already gone to bed. It was dark. And he heard all the commotion, and since he was writing about an eyewitness of Jesus, he throws on an outer garment without putting on the undergarments. Have you ever done that? Somebody's outside, you throw on a coat or something, and he wants to go see what's happening. So he's only got an outer garment on. This is Mark. He's going where the action is. Good for him.
"And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked."
Bless Mark. So he wrote it, and he wrote the truth about this. In when I was teaching Mark 13, you remember that Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where he ought not, don't go there. Don't go into his house and take anything. The desolator is the Antichrist. When we see him standing in Jerusalem, calling himself the Messiah, don't go into his house and take up his armor. See, every day you put on the gospel armor. That's the clothes you put on, Ephesians 6. And but don't go into any house calling itself the house of God and put on the garment or the cloak of lies when Satan comes here. So there's a good teaching there.
53, and they led Jesus away to the high priest.
Oh my, the high priest. Look at that. A man-made high priest. And there is Jesus, who is our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, our high priest, now sits at the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he's being taken to the phony man high priest. Mm.
"And with them were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes."
In full majestic clothing, oh Lord, the garments, the pomp and circumstance. They all wanted to see Jesus go down. They wanted him dead because, see, he was messing up their money-making thing. The people didn't want to go to the temple anymore. They wanted the truth from Jesus.
54, and Peter followed him afar off.
Peter's trying.
Even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. 55, and the chief priest and all the council sought the witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none.
They each one lied, so they couldn't get somebody to agree. Kind of like all those women that came upon our wonderful Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Each woman would come in with a lie bigger than the other, and none of them agreed. looks like liars would get together and at least study the lie they're going to tell, doesn't it?
56, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. 57, and there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.
Jesus did not say that. That's fake news. Jesus says, you will destroy this temple, meaning his body. Remember, your body is the temple of the living God. And he says, I will raise it up in 3 days. So see, they got it out of context, like they do President Trump. He'll say something perfectly sane, and they twist it around until it's insane.
But neither so did their witnesses agree together. 60, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee?
He was amazed that Jesus didn't defend himself. But remember, Jesus is orchestrating this. Everything's going down exactly as Jesus had planned it. He's being very successful. Isaiah 53 says, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't want to have a defense. He was going to let them kill him. It was written that way. Somebody had to die for our sins, and he was it.
Amen. 61, but he held his peace and answered them nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
Boy, he thought he had him then. This is like those fake reporters with President Trump. I'm going to ask you this one. This one's going to bring you down. See, they had a law there, those high priests, that if anybody said they was God, that they could stone them to death, and that's what he was after. He wanted to get this young imposter out of the way. Are you the anointed one? Are you the Messiah? Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah.
62, and Jesus said, I am.
Hallelujah. But Jesus is Hebrew, so he spoke Hebrew. And he said, Haya, Asha, Aya. I am that I am. I am that I will become. He could have kept his peace. He gave them what they needed to kill him. He told them the truth, that he was God standing before them. Aya, Asha, Aya.
And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
And we know that Revelation 1 says that the second coming of Jesus, every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him. Those people right there plotting his murder, about to nail him to a cross, will see this second coming. And all nations on this planet, second coming, will wail because of him. All the people who've put his picture in urine bottles, who've made fun, they'll stop in their tracks, the liars, the devil's children, the politicians, the thieves, the murderers, the parents who abuse their children, the children who've gone astray. Wail! We see Jesus coming in glory and power. Even so, Aya, Asha, Aya, come, Lord Jesus. come.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. We'll start right there next week, but right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Okay, our question today. Will the United States of America participate in the one world order when Antichrist appears?
Yes, America will, except the elect that are in America. We will stand true and we won't bow to him. Revelation 13 says the whole world will worship him, so that means us too. But see, that's why we've got two factions going on in our government now. See, that is, the devil's kids are getting ready for him to come, and God's kids are trying to keep them from taking over. Only the elect will not bow. But the United States will as a whole, yes. Everybody will have to, yes.
And our next question, what was the original American dream?
Oh, I have a wonderful book. It is not fiction. The founders, what they got together. When they founded this nation, they dedicated it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their first schools were in churches. The American dream, they said, was that every citizen in the United States of America would be saved, would accept Jesus as Lord. This is my mission. This is my goal. We can work toward that. God can move the enemy out of this land and make us the holy nation we were destined to be. Praise ye the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
The greatest need is still to know the Father. He must reveal himself in greater measure before the end of these times. The hearts of his children must be pricked in a way that they seek him in order to know him on a deeper level. They must be rooted and grounded in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the eyes must be looking above and fixed on him.
Thank you very much, Scott.
You're
that
welcome,
is so
Sherry.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, so get your sick loved ones and gather around. But first, let me pray for anyone who's lost. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in a few minutes, Scott's going to give you my telephone number, so if you were saved, feel free to call and tell me and leave your name clearly, and I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for the sick. Believe, and you receive. I want you to know that he sent his word and healed you. I want you to know that he restores health and cure. I want you to know that he is Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. I want you to know that with Jesus' stripes you were healed. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, let the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Go, dear God, from north to south, to east and west, from shore to shore, to border, into the homes and businesses, and into the bodies. Let the healing virtue of Jesus, the wings of the Son of Jesus Christ, go in the laser beams of light, perfecting, regenerating, rejuvenating, removing disease, repairing disease, building something new that's been missing. Heal from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Stomachs, digestive systems, pelvises, be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Now, when you call, you might want to call and tell me also that God has healed you. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, John, Revelation 19:13. And in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." None of this is given to you for to keep,
You take this word and you go and tell. There's so much truth in here. It is a sin for you to hold it to yourself and not share these beautiful, beautiful truths. And then you will be a blessing to someone else and help bring someone else into the kingdom. I want to especially thank Scott Merson, my announcement, for his Scott stuff and all of his wonderful input. Thank you, Scott. We bless
thank you, Ms. Sherry,
and appreciate you. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock, your host, saying, I love you. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together again to hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. You are welcome here. Come flood this place. to be overcome by your presence,
listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument.
You alone walk that road, all full of the road to Calvary, where death will lose its sting, where chains are broken free. Greater love has no one than this. Your grace amazing.
There's no height and there's no depth you can't reach.
I give some speech about how to get the most out of your life? Or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you make? Cause they're the choices that made me. And even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smoother ride. Dear young me, dear young me, oh, oh, if I knew then what I know now, condemnation would have had no power. Dear younger me, it's not your fault. You never meant to carry this beyond the cross. No. Dear younger me, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed. Set apart a brand new heart, oh, you are free indeed. Every mountain, every valley, through each heartache you will see. Every moment brings you closer to who you were meant to be.
again.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Boaters Exchange. Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange fixes all marine engines, and they sell all sized boats. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090. Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Cabrin Air, family-owned and operated, and serving the Space Coast area for over 30 years now is Cabrin Air, available at 321-784-0127. You'll find Cabrin Air listed on Angie's List as well as in the Better Business Bureau. Once again, Cabrin Air, covering all of Brevard County, is available at 321-784-0127. You can find them on the web.